إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. ما بعد، we continue reading from Al-Mulakhas Al-Fiqhi of our noble Shaykh Al-Allam Al-Walid Al-Doktor Salih bin Fawzan Al-Fawzan حفظه الله تعالى ومتعه بالصحة والعافية وغفر له ولوالديه للمسلمين والمسلمات آمين. باب في أحكام العقيقة. Chapter tonight, we're going to learn the rulings on عقيقة or النسيكة. These are the things that the father do when Allah give a person a newborn baby. قال الشيخ النقطة الأولى. We're going to make as a point as well. Point number one. قال العقيقة من حق الولد على والده. العقيقة من حق الولد على والده. The عقيقة is the right that the child has over his father. It's a right that a child has over his father. وهي shut the door please. وهي الذبيحة التي يذبحها عنه تقربا إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى. And this عقيقة is that animal that is slaughtered by the father on behalf of the newborn. And doing this seeking nearness to Allah سبحانه وتعالى, to get closer to Allah. فهي سنة سنها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. And this is a sunnah that was practiced by the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. فقد عق عن الحسن والحسين كما رواه أبو داود وغيره. والحديث صحيح. صححه الإمام الألباني في صحيح أبو داود. وفعل ذلك صحابته الكرام. فكانوا يذبحون عن أولادهم وفعله التابعون. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he performed the عقيقه on both Al-Hasan and Al-Husayn, his grandsons. These are the two sons of Ali and Fatima radiallahu anhum. As this hadith is in Abu Dawood and other than it, and the hadith is sound, authenticated by Imam al-Albani rahimahullah in Sahih Sunan Abu Dawood. Likewise, this is a sunnah that was practiced by the companions, the noble companions, Ridwanullahi alayhim. They used to slaughter animals. They used to slaughter animals for aqiqah on their children. Likewise, it was practiced by the tabi'un. There was a practice by التابعون as well. Number two, point number two. وذهب بعض أهل العلم إلى وجوبها لما رواه الحسن عن سمرة أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال كل غلام مرتهن بعقيقته. Do you have the English? No. كل غلام مرتهن بعقيقته. قال أحمد معناه مرتهن عن الشفاعة لوالديه. وقال ابن القيم إنها سبب في حسن سجاياه وأخلاقه إن عق عنه. إن عق عنه. He said, however, some of the people of knowledge, they choose the opinion that عقيقه is obligatory actually upon the father, because of لحديث وفي الحسن في سمرة that the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said every child is murtahan with his aqiqa. Imam Ahmed explained to us what that means, meaning every child will be kept away from interceding for his parents if they don't make the aqiqa for him. Ibn al-Qayyim rahim and the hadith is sahih. This hadith is sahih Abi Dawood, sahih al-Albani. Imam al-Albani authenticated this hadith. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah says the aqiqa contributes in the good manners of the child. With children that the aqiqah is performed for them, that contributes of them having good manners from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The point number three, قال والصحيح أنها سنة مؤكدة. والصحيح أنها سنة مؤكدة وذبحها أفضل من الصدقة بثمنها. The Sheikh says, but the sound opinion is that the aqiqah is highly recommended sunnah. It's not an obligation. It's not obligatory, but it's highly recommended sunnah. And slaughtering the animals are better than giving the money their value in charity. Slaughtering the animal is better than giving its value in charity. وهي شكر لله على تجدد نعمته على الوالدين بولادة المولود. And the Shaykh gave us the wisdom behind its legislation. It is by slaughtering the animal or animals, is that you're showing thanks to Allah and giving thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving you children. And that's a ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وفيها تقرب إلى الله تعالى وتصدق على الفقراء وفداء للمولود. And by doing this act, you're seeking to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore that this is one of the things that get the Muslim closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because you're following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And also it is a sadaqah for the fuqara, because the fuqara eats from it. You invite the poor and the like and they eat from it. Point number four, وَمِقْدَارُ مَا يُذْبَحُ. Now in this point number four, the Shaykh is going to mention what do you slaughter, you know, and how much, how many heads do you slaughter. قَالْ عَنِ الذَّكَرِ شَاتَانِ مُتَقَارِبَتَانِ سِنًّا وَشَبَهَا وَعَنِ الْأُنْثَى شَاتٌ وَاحِدَةٌ. If a person if the newborn is a boy, then two sheep, they are in the same level, both of them, not one big, one small, you have to be in the same level, you know, they be slaughtered and they look alike. And if the newborn is a girl, if it's a baby girl, then one animal, one sheep. This is because of the hadith from Qaraz al-Ka'biyya, قالت سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول عن الغلام شاتان متكافئتان وعن الجارية شاة. رواه أحمد الترمذي وصححه من حديث عائشة. والحديث صححه الإمام الألباني رحمه الله كما في صحيح ابن ماجة. The Messenger of Allah said, two animals, sheep, two sheep, they look alike, they resemble each other in the same level, same category, they are to be slaughtered on behalf of the baby boy. While in the baby girl, one is enough. This hadith is authenticated by Imam al-Albani, rahimahullah, in Sahih ibn Majah. خامسا والحكمة في الفرق بين الذكر والأنثى بمقدار العقيقة أنها على النصف من أحكام الذكر، والنعمة على الوالد بالذكر أتم، والسرور والفرحة به أكمل، فكان الشكر عليه أكثر. الشيخ says the حكمة, the wisdom, why there is two sheep for the baby boy and there is only one sheep for the baby girl. He says when you look at the rulings in Islam, you will find that the male get twice as the female. And this is from the what Allah has legislated. And Allah is Al-Hakim. Allah is Al-Hakim, the All-Wise. ووقت الذبح. Now the Shaykh is going to tell us the time of the slaughter. When do you slaughter this? ووقت ذبح العقيقة ينبغي أن يكون في اليوم السابع من ولادته، ولو ذبح قبل اليوم السابع أو بعده جاز. Now when do you slaughter these two animals or one animal? The Shaykh says it should be done on the seventh day. On the seventh day from the day the baby was born. From the day the baby was born. Shaykh bin Baz rahimahullah ta'ala, they asked him, how do we know, how we count? He said, if the baby was born in a day, then count that day. If he is born in a night, count the next day as number one. Okay? Like for example, today is Monday. If a baby was born today at Dhuhr time, you count this day. Monday is one, so the Aqiqah will be on Sunday. The seventh will be on Sunday. Alright? But if the baby is born after Maghrib, then you count the next day. Then the seventh day will be Monday. Okay? Now, so the Shaykh says it is better, what is supposed to be done is that this haqiqah, the slaughtering of these animals, should be done on the seventh day from the day when the baby is born. However, the Shaykh says, if a person slaughtered the animals before the seventh day or after, it's okay. It's okay. What's the reason for the seventh? Sunnah. Sunnah. والأفضل أن يسمي في هذا اليوم. He says, and what is better is that the name is to be given on that day, on the seventh day as well. You name the baby boy or baby girl on the seventh day. That's the sunnah. As it occurs in the sunnah and other than them, يُذْبَحُ عَنْهُ يَوْمَ سَابِعِهِ وَيُسَمَّى. Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that those animals for the aqiqah, and also what is called nasika, is that those animals are to be slaughtered on the seventh day from the birth of the baby and to be named, meaning to be given a name. Abdullah, Abdul Rahman, Ibrahim, Muhammad, Ahmed, and the like, Abdul Rahman, or Aisha, Safiya, Khadija, Sara, Asiya, Maryam, Juwayriya, Zainab, Fatima, and the like. نعم. قال ومن سماه في يوم ولادته فلا بأس، بل هو عند بعض العلماء أرجح من اليوم السابع. Is however, if someone named his child from the first day he or she was born, it's okay. It's okay. Rather, he said with some of the ulama, they said that is better. That is better. نعم. Yes?
If you do on the seventh day, should you name the baby before you slaughter or after?
We just mentioned it right now. Just mentioned that you can do it at the same day. And then it's even okay to do it even before that. It's not just on the seventh day, okay? Aina. ثامنا ويسن تحسين الاسم. The Sheikh says, and it is recommended that the parents choose the best name for their children. Choose a good name. And unfortunately, some parents, Muslims, but they choose some evil names, names of singers, names of ball players, some famous ball players, whether it be soccer, which is like football, baseball, basketball, singers, actors. They call them fannanun, artists. They fattanun, because people to go through trials and fitan, have nothing with the art. Ala ayin, you find certain people name their boys and girls after some people who are wicked. They sing, dancers, ball players. Why? Jahl, ignorance. Ignorance. The kuffar, they do that. The kuffar, they name their name Michael. Why? Why? Because I want him to be like Michael Jordan, for example. Or Michael Jackson. Or the like. You see? Kuffar. They don't know masakin. But we Muslims. Why Muslims imitate the kuffar? Name their boys or girls after singers, dancers, ball players, and the like. No. Choose the good name. Abdullah for boys, Abdurrahman. And other than those names, alhamdulillah, the names of the prophets, Adam, Ibrahim, Idris, Yaqub, Ishaq, Ismail, Yusuf, Sulaiman, Dawood, Ayyub, Hud, Salih, Shu'aib, Musa, Harun, Isa, Muhammad. And then you go to the names of the Sahaba, radhiyallahu alayhim, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, Talha, Zubair. And all the names. Likewise, for the baby girls, choose a good name. Maryam, Asiya, Sarah, Hajar, Khadija, Aisha, Hafsa, Safiya, Zainab, Sauda, Khadija, and the like. Juwayriya, Zainab. These are the names. And the Sheikh, he says, he mentioned a hadith. Even though this hadith is da'if, Imam al-Albani, it's good to know this hadith also. Imam al-Albani said this hadith is weak in Sahih Abi Dawood. إِنَّكُمْ تُدْعَوْنَ بِأَسْمَائِكُمْ وَأَسْمَائِ أَبَائِكُمْ فَأَحْسِنُوا أَسْمَائَكُمْ. Let's collect by Imam Abu Dawood. You will be called من يوم القيامة by your names and by the names of your parents. So make your names good. Choose good names. However, this hadith is weak. Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah ta'ala, he graded as weak hadith, da'if. قال الشيخ صالح حفظه الله وكان صلى الله عليه وسلم يحب الاسم الحسن. As Ibn al-Qayyim رحمه الله تعالى mentioned in Zad al-Ma'ad, said the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he used to like good names. That's why the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, in his many narrations, he used to change the names and advise certain people to change their names. Those who didn't have good names, their parents didn't give them good names. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to suggest and tell them, no, you're this. From one name, give them, choose this name, a better name. قال ويحرم تعبيده لغير الله. But it's haram. It is a ruling now. We're going to learn now some rulings pertaining to names. It is haram for a person to be abd to someone else other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Give me a name that is good, like that starts with abd. Naam Ibrahim? Abdullah. Abdullah. Amir? Abdul Rahman. Naam? Abdul Rahim. Naam. Uh-huh. Yes, yeah, that's right. Naam. Here? Abdul Aziz. Dawood. No. Abd. That starts with Abd first. Can be Abd Dawood. Abdul Razzaq. Ahsant. Abdul Qayyum. Abdul Hakim. Abdul Muhammad. La. Abdul Muhammad. La. Can't say Abdul Muhammad. You say Abu Muhammad? عبد محمد or Abu Muhammad? Which one is it? Abu. Yeah, you're right. Abu Muhammad is... but that's not a name. That's a kunya. That's a kunya. Naam Abdul Rahman? Abdul Fattah. Ahsant. Abdul Rahim.
Abdul Jawad.
Ay naam. Abdul Ghani. طيب, that's good. Now, these are good names. But now you find some people, what do you say now? What do you say about the someone whose name, his name is Abdul Ka'bah? Huh? There are people named Abdul Ka'bah. That's true. Abdul Nabi. I remember one guy used to go with me to school, when we were in elementary school, he used to name, his name was Abdul Nabi. Abdul Nabi. Huh? عبد النبي وعبد المسيح وعبد علي like the Shia they name عبد الحسين عبد الحسين Shia they do this عبد الحسين and all these names are haram because you cannot be a slave of a person you're a slave of Allah عبد الله عبد الرحمن عبد الرحيم عبد القوي عبد الفتاح عبد الغني عبد the names of Allah cannot be عبد الحسين عبد النبي لا it's not permissible قال الإمام ابن حزم رحمه الله اتفقوا على تحريم كل اسم معبد لغير الله كعبد عمر وعبد الكعبة وما أشبه ذلك حاشا عبد المطلب لأنه إخبار كبني عبد الدار وعبد الشمس ليس من باب إنشاء التسمية بذلك. إمام ابن حزم, one of the great scholars of the past, رحمه الله, says in حاشية الروض المربع, he said they have agreement, meaning the ulama, that is strictly forbidden to have any name that is abd for other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like Abdu Umar. If somebody's name Abdu Umar, then that's haram. You can't have that name. Or Abdul Ka'bah and the like. Abdul Hussein. Abdul Nabi. Even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because Abdul Rasul. There are people who they name this Abdul Rasul. Abdul Nabi. All this is not permissible. What about Abdul Muttalib? See, عبد المطالب is عبد المطالب. That's a good name or a bad name? Huh? According to what we're learning, that's bad, right? But now it's not. It's okay. That's why we say the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is. What's his lineage? Who can tell us the name of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Muhammad. Ahsant. Ibn. Ibn Abdul Muttalib. Yeah. So the Abdul Muttalib is the Prophet's father. Abdullah. Are you back now? Naam. Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Abdul Muttalib. Now this Abdul Muttalib is okay. Because just tell you about a tribe like Abdu Shams, Abdi Dar. Sheikh said, it's not a name, but just to tell you about a tribe or about an area and the like. Huh? That's different. Different. That takes another ruling. Abdul Muttalib make the exception. Okay? If somebody tell you, well, wait a minute. Well, here's Abdul Muttalib in the lineage. Tell him that takes an exception. Alright? وتكره التسمية بالاسماء غير المناسبة. Likewise, he says, after he mentioned the names that are haram, look, the good names, and then those names that are haram, now that he's going to mention the names that are disliked. Like, because they don't fit the Muslim, like Al-Asi. Somebody going to name him his son Al-Asi. What's Al-Asi? Who knows what Al-Asi? Huh? The disobedient. You think? He's going to name his son Al-Asi. The disobedient. Wa Kulayb. Little dog. Kulayb. Before, in Jahiliyyah, they used to name these names. Kulayb. Handala. Murra. Handala and Murra, these are bitter, something that's very bitter, you know, in taste. Wa Hazan. Sad. Name is وقد كره النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مباشرة الاسم القبيح من الأشخاص والأماكن. The Sheikh says the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم disliked those despicable names, whether those to human beings or to places. Choose good names, don't choose bad names. وقد قال صلى الله عليه وسلم إن أحب أسمائكم إلى الله عبد الله وعبد الرحمن رواه مسلم وغيره. The Prophet says the most beloved of your names to Allah is Abdullah and Abdul Rahman. The most beloved of your names to Allah is Abdullah and Abdul Rahman. This goes with Imam Muslim. And other than them, I just want to share with you another hadith that is weak. The Sheikh didn't mention it, but since we're in the same area, we learn from the ulama. There is another hadith that says, but the hadith is weak, or maybe it's even mawdu', Allahu a'lam, but at least it's weak. Khayrul asma'i lillahi ma 'ubbida wa humida. The best names to Allah are those who have abd before them, like Abdullah, Abdul Rahman, Abdul Qawi, and Mahumid, meaning Muhammad, Ahmed, and the like. Hadith is weak. But this hadith is sahih. The most beloved of all your names to Allah is Abdullah and Abdul Rahman. قال الشيخ فينبغي الاهتمام باختيار الاسم الحسن للمولود وتجنب الاسماء المحرمة والمكروهة لأن ذلك من حق الولد على والده. So he said, for the parents, now he gives advice to the parents, it's incumbent upon the parents to choose the best name for the newborn. Because the newborn, can he choose a name? Did he choose a name, Ahmed? You choose your name? Amir, did you choose your name when you were born? Right there on the seventh day, you say, hey, Abi, I want to be Amir. Huh? Why didn't you say that? You couldn't, not me, you. What about you? I couldn't talk, I know that. What about you? Huh? You couldn't talk when you were seven?
Oh, seven?
When you were seven, you couldn't talk?
Okay.
Well, what happened? But when you were seven, did you talk or not? You talked. Subhanallah, how did you do that? Huh? When you start talking, when?
Three?
3 days and you were talking already? No, I'm talking about days, akhi. Huh? Days. You were talking about years? Oh, 3 years? No, I think you talked before that. Kids, they start making some words when they are like 6 months, 5 months, 8 months. Before that? Oh, no, no, you. I know you talked before that. Can't tell you, huh?
Usually kids talk.
Yeah, like 9 months he was saying words.
No way.
Yeah, I remember.
Year and a half.
No, he was. It depends. It's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also, usually the child that have some young children before him, they pick up easy. But the first child maybe finds some difficulties because he's just by himself, wandering around. And also you find that those young children like who are the first child, usually you find them, they pick up like big words from, like, because they hear the grown-up talking. Sometimes you find, for example, and I know for sure, because subhanAllah, I know some children, because the only child, whether he or she, 40-year-old, they talk like grown-ups. Why? Because he just, who's around them? The mother, the grandmother, and that's it. And the father, grandfather, they don't hear kids talk at all. So they talk like, subhanAllah, they're like 4 or 5 years old. They make sentences and they talk grown-up talk. I know. But when you find a child that is born, but he already have like 3, 4 brothers and sisters close to his age. One is 2, one is 4, one is 6. I've seen it in my children, they were just like this. I've seen when Abdullah was born, he's between Muhammad, Amira, Hassan, and Halima. They whatever they talk, he's just following them. Copy, subhanAllah. Whenever this one says something, he's like, and that's how they pick up a lot of things. Are they wrong? Pay attention with Yusuf, Ahmed. Ahmed and Mustafa. Remember, when you're talking and Yusuf is around you, what he be doing? Looking at you, right? Talking to Idris. Okay, that's even better. The Sheikh, he says it's better, it's upon the parents to choose the best names for their children, and they should avoid the names that are haram and the names that are disliked. Because this is the rights that the child has over the father. What point we've been doing? Nobody counting? No point. Huh? Probably. Alhamdulillah, I'm marking them. This is 9 now. Alright? Can't count on you, brothers. Huh? SubhanAllah. You guys with me?
Yes,
you said 8 or 6?
No, it's 8 or 9.
You said 8 or 9? Okay, mashallah. وَيُزِّئُ فِي الْعَقِيقَ مَا يُزِّئُ فِي الْأُضْحِيَ مِنْ حَيْتُ السِّنْ والصفة فيختار السليم من العيب والأمراض والكاملة من خلقتها المناسبة في سنها وسمنها. Sheikh now is in point number 9. He mentioned that what do you the characteristics of the animal. He said the same thing that applies on the udhiyah, the animal that you should choose to slaughter for the Eid applies on the aqiq. Same thing. In the age and the look and the like. So you choose the sound one, free from defects and from sickness and illness. Alright? And not missing anything. Okay? Same thing like the same thing we learn in the rulings of Udhiyya. ويستحب أن يأكل منها ويهدي ويتصدق أتلاتا كالأضحية. Said, and it is recommended, sunnah, to eat from it and to give a gift to his family or friends and the like, and a sadaqah, on 3 parts. But remember when we were talking in the class of the Udhiyya, that Sheikh Al-Albani, rahimahullah ta'ala, along with Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen and others, they says, there is no hadith that tells us you have to divide the Udhiyya or the Aqiqah on 3/3. And eat the third, give as a gift the other third, and give in charity the other third. We have learned in the classes of the Udhiyya, alhamdulillah, that this is something, if Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen said, if somebody wants to do that, it's okay. But you don't have to. You don't have to. Number 10, وَتُخَالِفْ الْعَقِيقَ الْأُضْحِيَّ فِي كَوْنِهَا لَا يُجْزِئُ فِيهَا شِرْكٌ فِي دَمٍ فلا تجزئ فيها بدنة ولا بقرة إلا كاملة لأنها فدية عن النفس ولا تقبل التشريك ولم يرد فيها تشريك حيث لم يفعله النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ولا أحد من أصحابه. However, there is one difference between the عقيقة and the أضحية is that the عقيقة cannot be shared. Like in the أضحية, up to 7 people can share in what? In a camel. Cat?
A cow.
Uh-huh. And what about the sheep and the goat?
No.
No. Okay. Haqiqa, no. You don't, like 7, like brothers, they all have boys in the area, they kill a cow and it's like, la. If somebody choose to slaughter a cow, the sheikh, he says, as a haqiqa, it has to be one, for one person, one baby. Not 7 babies sharing one cow or one camel, okay? But in the Udhiyya, yes, 7 people can share in one camel or one. Is that understood? No. Because the Prophet ﷺ didn't do it, nor any of his companions. Number 11, وينبغي العناية بأمر المولود بما يصلحه وينشئه على الأخلاق الفاضلة ويكون سببا في صلاحه. So then also, now once you do this, keep in mind that also the parents have to nurture the baby and cultivate them upon the good manners of Islam, good aqidah, that which will make them, alhamdulillah, righteous. From have to give to make them righteous. فيحتاج الطفل إلى العناية منذ فيحتاج الطفل إلى العناية بأمر خلقه فإنه ينشأ على ما عوده المربي. So the child need to be taken care of. And they should grow in an environment, in a good environment, an Islamic environment. Because the children, they will grow up and they are affected by the environment they grow up in. قال الشاعر, and he mentioned a line of poetry. This is a famous line of poetry that it is used many times in this regard. وَيَنْشَأُ نَاشِئُ الْفِتْيَانِ فِينَا عَلَى مَا كَانَ عَوَّدَهُ أَبُوهُ وَيَنْشَأُ نَاشِئُ الْفِتْيَانِ فِينَا عَلَى مَا كَانَ عَوَّدَهُ أَبُوهُ. He says, and every one of us grow up and take in the traits and of that which his father cultivate him upon. I know. فيصعب عليه في كبره تلافي ذلك, ولهذا تجد بعضا أو كثير من الناس منحرفة أخلاقهم بسبب التربية التي نشأوا عليها. The Sheikh said this is very important because he finds certain people when they grow up, they are old now, adults, and they have bad etiquettes, bad behavior, and they become difficult for them to get rid of it because that's how they grow up. It became a part of their life and their behavior. They know that's bad, but it's difficult for them to get rid of it because they grow up upon. Okay? It's something they grow up upon. وَلَيَّادُ بِاللَّهِ أَلْفَيَجِبُ أَنْ يُجَنَّبَ الطِّفْلِ مَجَالِسِ اللَّهُ وَالْبَاطِلِ وَقُرَانَ أَسُوءٍ. He said, the child from early age, his parents should avoid him from any gatherings of play and amusements and falsehood, and take him away from mixing with the bad companions. I know. Because that's what he's going to, if they let him just go ahead, be with anybody, he's going to learn a lot of bad things from those bad kids who their parents have neglected their education. So the parents have to be careful. They don't take their children to bad places, okay, and neglect them. And no, they have to make sure that they take them to the masjid, bring them to the masjid, bring them to the class, they hear the Qur'an, they hear the hadith, the sunnah, they be amongst the Muslims, take them to seminars, alhamdulillah, and the like. Be in a good companion. Be with the children that they, now they want to play sometimes, but then they remember Allah, they memorize Qur'an, they learn in Arabic, they attend the classes, they learn in the akhlaq. قال ويجب أن يكون البيت الذي ينشأ فيه بيئة صالحة لأن البيت بمثابة المدرسة الأولى بما فيه من الوالدين وأفراد الأسرة. Said likewise, Sheikh. Now he's given us some very, very serious advices for us parents. He says, likewise, the house that these children they're gonna grow up in these homes, has to be a righteous homes. Have to be a righteous homes. He says, because the house is like the school. This is the first school, actually, the children. Some people, they think, oh, he's six now, he's going to go to school. He's been in school, man, you just don't know. Your child, he's in school. His house is the first school. They learn how to talk, they learn how to do many things. I know. And who are the teachers and the principals and all this? In this school is the parents in the first place and all the other siblings. The parents and the rest of the siblings. فَيَجِبُ إِبْعَادُ وَسَائِلَ الشَّرُّ وَالْفَسَادَ عَنِ الْبُيُوتِ. So he said it is incumbent upon the parents to clean and free the homes from all means that bring evil. All the means that bring the evil and corrupt the children, والعياذ بالله. قال خصوصا في هذا الزمان الذي كثرت فيه وسائل الشر وامتلأ بها غالب البيوت إلا من رحمه الله فيجب الحذر من ذلك. Especially in our time when the means of evil are many and many homes are filled with these means and these instruments of destruction, of ruin and destruction, except from those that Allah has mercy upon them. From Muhammad. So the Shaykh Hawat Ali says, likewise, it is incumbent upon the parents to leave off and to actually clean. For their home should be clean and should be free from all of those instruments of destruction that bring ruin and destruction to themselves first, and of course to their children. He says, and these means are, subhanAllah, are many these days with this technology and the like. There's a lot of harm in the technology. You find some homes, subhanAllah, televisions everywhere. And these are not televisions in somewhere like in Saudi when you have two channels or three, one of Quran and one of Hadith. Nah. You open the channel, oh mashallah, Quran is recited and tafsir. The other channel, Hadith. Nah, it's not the case. This is channels. Now it's like before, like 20, 30 years ago, it used to be a couple of channels, right or wrong? A couple of channels that used to be on the regular cable. But now how many channels? 400? 300, 400? More than that. It's many thousands of channels everywhere. I said, it's a big fitna. Those channels, they don't teach Tawheed and Aqeedah. Corruption. So now you find, subhanAllah, some people, homes, television, in the big television. They, even the evil, they want to see it big, on 3D. On 3D, they have a nice look at it. It's haram. Big TV, like 30 inch, what they call them? How many inch, the biggest one? 68. 68. Astaghfirullah, I'm old dated. It was like 30 was the 90. Alhamdulillah. Astaghfirullah al-Azim. And then they have a TV in the bedroom, TV in the living room. Some even people got TV in the kitchen. They don't want to miss anything. Yeah, subhanAllah, children grow up in here. When are they going to memorize Quran? People have a TV in the bathroom. While they're taking a shower, they still watch the TV? La hawla wa la quwwata. Because maybe these people, maybe they're addicted to the TV, television, right? Yeah, television is...
Islamic channel.
Mm-hmm. Name one. You gotta be careful. A lot of channels out there are made by the Ikhwan Muslimun. There is many channels of the Shia. There is many channels of Sufis. This is a reality, akhi. They take the people away from the Sunnah. There are many channels, they call them Muslim names. But they are channels of the Shia, yes. Shia has many channels to turn you away from the Sunnah and the way of the Sahaba. Ikhwan Muslimun, they have their own channels. Sufis, they have channels. Ilmaniyun, they have channels. Enemies of Allah, they have channels in Arabic. And bring you the movies of Khalid ibn al-Walid, and movies of I don't know who and here, and put so many lies on there. They bring you stories of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all lie. And they're like, see, oh, Muslim channel. Muslim, that's even worse. Because when someone is watching sports, baseball, or he's just wasting his time. It's not like when someone turned to so-called the Muslim channel, the Shi'i channel, teaching him Shi'i madhab. Or a Sufi teaching him shirk. You see, that's even worse. And it's very important, Yahi. You shouldn't have no television in your house. Television is a big fitna. Especially in these times. Can't just say, because you have no control over those channels. You just don't. Some people, they say now they have the TV only for the news. Well, somebody may can pull that excuse maybe 20 years ago. Right now the news is in your phone. And what news, really? Is the thing you hear in the news, is it new? Nothing new. Killing and murder, that's an old stuff. Nothing new about it. The Muslim shouldn't even waste his time with those news stuff. If something going on, you want to be here, but you can't just make it, oh, I have to. Some people, the first thing they do before they get breakfast, they have to read three. Well, see, they have to read. Before, people used to read newspapers. Now people, they have to go to this channel and this channel, this provider, spend a couple hours just to hear the news of what? Nothing. Read some Quran, man. Aynam. Ala ayin. Sheikh says, the homes have to be clean and free from evil. كما يجب تنشئة الطفل على العبادة والطاعة واحترام الدين والعناية بالقرآن ومحبته لأنه من أعظم وسائل السعادة في الدنيا والآخرة. Likewise, that child, he should grow up in a household that the parents in the first place and whoever live there, they are upon ibadah, upon obedience to Allah. They respect the deen of Allah. The Quran comes first in their life, not magazines, not soap operas and movies and Quran come first. That's what's in their hearts and in their lives. They love the Quran. So the parents, they grow up, the children, they grow up on this, on whatever they see their parents doing. I know, that's why you see some children, mashallah, they want to call the adhan. When they hear the Quran, they want to recite Quran. When they see their parents standing up for salah, they standing up. They might not finish it. But the same thing, if the parents are dancing, the children, they dance with them too. They chant and sing, the children, they grow up and singing and chanting. But if the parents are, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illa, Allahu Akbar, constantly, that's their life. The children, they pick up, and you find like 3 years old, subhanallah. And you're like, whoa, where you get that from? From the angels. Yeah, right, from the angels. From the house they live in, man, what are you talking about? They're your neighbors, they're my neighbors. That's how it is. Because the parents and also their children, their siblings who are older than them, because they already went through that. That's the remembrance of Allah, ihtiram, they respect the deen, the salat, the masjid, they love Allah, they love the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the like. Because this is what brings and guarantees joy and serenity and stability and happiness in this life and in the hereafter. being upon the deen of Allah. قال وبالجملة يجب على والد الطفل والمتولي شأنه أن يكون قدوة صالحة في أخلاقه وسلوكه وعاداته وفق الله الجميع لما يحبه ويرضى. He says in general, of course this is another topic. Sheikh has given advice in this chapter of Aqiqah. He says but in general, as a summary, it is incumbent upon the father especially because he's the one who's responsible of the education of his children. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِكُمْ نَارًا or you believe, protect yourselves and your families from a fire. So it's incumbent upon that parent to be a good example for his children. Because the children are going to copy in his manners, in his suluks, in his customs, habits. Anything that the parent do, the children, they're just going to learn from that. He said, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant tawfiq. Grant us tawfiq to that which He loves and is pleased with. وَصَلَى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمَ تَسْلِيمًا كَثِيرًا